Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and that's Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin. John Bonham, drummer for Led Zeppelin, died on this day in 1980. We're about to have a conversation with Jose Corona and Ada Pinkston, who are performance artists and co-curators of La Bodies and the Transmodern Festival. In the past, we've covered the Transmodern Festival a bit, but not for a while, so welcome. Good to have you here in our studios.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here. Thank you for inviting us.
Oh, that's great to see you both. So for this, for our listeners, who a lot of people don't know what that means, I was joking with one of my producers, Mark Gunnery, saying, what does that mean, transmodern? What does it mean? How would you define what that means?
Transmodern Festival, I know that the city paper has described it as the weirdest festival. You know, I feel like it's hard to explain it. You know, it brings together works that are experimental, that are kind of like in the margins doing their thing, maybe not necessarily, they don't have like a specific large crowd that follows them. And definitely the home of performance art, which is how I got to know the Transmodern Festival. And it actually really nurtured my performance work.
How do you define transmodern? What does that mean?
I would say, so, you know, Laura Dragoole actually started this project 11 years ago,
right,
with a bunch of other artists. Who else? The woman that lives in Philadelphia.
Oh, Catherine Pancake.
I interviewed with them a long time ago when this first began.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yes.
right.
So they started it 11 years ago, and it was basically a collaborative curatorial project that really focused on performance artworks, right? And trans, I mean, for me personally, I see trans as like something in between. Mm. And, you know, modern is like a term, art terminology that you see in art history books. But it's, I mean, basically I feel like the term transmodern is a way to kind of look at performance in a less two-dimensional way, but in a, like a three- and four-dimensional format, you know? So instead, just like Jose said, taking it away from like traditional theater and outside of like the stage performer audience dynamic and into something else, into another realm. Mm-hmm. That's the way I would see it.
What do you bring to these festivals? What will both of you be doing besides curating? We'll get to the curating in a moment. I've seen some of the things you've done on the web. So talk a bit about what it is exactly that.
That we're contributing to this year.
Right,
so this
right.
year we are actually co-curating the festival. And so we are partnering both with Transmodern and with Sub-Basement Gallery.
And what is Sub-Basement Gallery?
Sub-Basement Gallery is a series of like artist studios in right by Lexington Market. Like it's a high-rise apartment complex, and in the sub-basement, so you know, you go beyond the basement, and there's maybe seven artist studios ran by Jeffrey Kent, and I am not sure how long they've been in existence, actually. But so that's the space. It's a large space. I want to say it's like four. He said it was like triple my space, so it's like 13,000 square feet, which is pretty big.
That's big space.
Big space, which is perfect for performance work because, you know, one of the like requirements, if you will, for performance is space, any type of space. So anyway, we're partnering with Sub-Basement, Transmodern, and we are producing Over Under Limbo, which is a Lab Bodies curated project. We are bringing together over 20 performance works, really locally, nationally, and international artists are participating in this. And it will be a two-day art happening with, you know, so it's performance work. So again, we're not talking about theater. The format is a little bit different. We're showing a variety of performance forms. So for instance, there will be scheduled performances, which are a little bit more like, traditional. And then we'll have ongoing performances or durational works, installation-based works, and some works that are in between, as well as performance documents that are stand-ins for the performance. Ada, do you want to add anything?
No, it's good.
In terms of the concept of it. So this year's Transmodern Festival is a week long. Usually in the past, it's only been on weekends.
Like weekends, I thought. Right.
So this year, and also it's usually been at the beginning of the summer, and this year it's at the end.
Or at the beginning of spring.
The beginning of spring.
It's beginning of fall.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Right. This time is the beginning of fall. So the overall theme of all of most of the performance works that are being curated throughout the week are related to Greek mythology. We took this theme and kind of we're interested in deconstructing what it means, what Greek mythology means, and then also kind of recreating new narratives from that, or from these different stories that we already know, and that are also based on other types of mythologies like Egyptian and, Greek mythology, Yoruba too. So we basically did an open call for artists. Anyone who saw the link could participate. And all of these artists basically submitted proposals that were related to the theme of a Greek story or mythological story.
So
specifically related to Hades.
I know you're curating this thing, co-curating this thing. So are you also exhibiting, performing?
So, yeah.
It's complicated.
It is complicated.
It's complicated? It's complicated. I can't tell you really. It's complicated.
So we're both.
Yeah.
And that will be kind of the answer for performance work a lot of the time.
Right.
But yes, Ada and I are both founded and co-direct Lab Bodies. And Lab Bodies functions as two things. So it functions both as a performance in itself and also as a curatorial project. So, for instance, when we, Ada and I, are curating, we perform as social scientists who are, in fact, performing as doctors. So if, you know, we're dealing with you over the phone or online, like, you'll be dealing with Dr. H. Corona or Dr. E. Pinkston.
Right.
And that's where it gets a little bit tricky. And I think that, you know, the part of our mission is to kind of, like, destabilize kind of, like, the limitations of both, like, performance and art.
Destabilize,
kind of like, you know, it's like, yeah, that in between space. Like, you want to contribute something?
Okay. So, in terms of the in between space, yeah, I mean, we're looking at life as art, performance as life, and really breaking down the boundaries between that. I mean, I also feel like as people of color, performance works are very important in our vernacular, in our artistic vernacular. And I think that it's, you know, in general, we're basically all about, like, breaking down the, like I said earlier, the boundaries between the audience and the performer, and also exploring time and space and duration and just the body as a form.
I mean, there are a couple of things that popped in my head here about this, I think, important to put out. Well, one is the thing about the work that I've been reading that you're doing, Hosie, that I've not seen yet, but just saw pictures, is nobodying.
Oh,
right. Mm-hmm. And so that concept is really interesting to me.
So with the my latest performances, I've been, you know, and I guess really throughout my performance career, but I've been really interested in garments and costuming and the way they kind of, like, both hide the body and reveal the body at the same time. And specifically that piece, Nobodying, was actually last year's Artscape. I got, you know, a commission to do something, so I wanted to create this piece that is really, in essence, the piece was talking about fast fashion. So that's, like, the starting point, you know, kind of like how we gain our identity by losing our identity when we, like, maybe go to H&M and, you know, do our shopping for jeans that are going to rip in a month and then get the next pair of jeans. But that, it's, you know, just kind of like, instead of displaying, you know, maybe like a mannequin or, you know, like a really pretty article of clothing, you are, in fact, seeing the human body.
Some of the things we talked about, destabilizing the art. Do you see that in also like a social and political way? The idea of destabilizing the art?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like art, I basically feel like artistic expression is political, and it doesn't matter even if people say it's political or not. It always has some type of political undertone. I think that
even whether you mean it to or not.
Right.
Right.
You know, because I just feel like I also feel like art in itself creates a space to explore things that are unsayable, unspeakable, all forms of artistic expression, even poetry, right? Because within, like, the written language, you can create different sentence structures that you can do in poetry that you can't necessarily do in, like, day-to-day communication. But anyways, so, yeah. I mean, I feel like the political is important in both of our works, and also as curators, exploring what it means to be people, to be cultural workers, to be organizers, to be educators. I think that that plays a role in the artistic production.
Well, you know, we're talking about performance art, and, you know, performance art requires four elements, and that's time, space, the performer's presence, or somehow just their presence is manifested there. It doesn't have to be their actual presence, so it could be through a video, and then the artist's relationship to the audience. And so a lot of the works are kind of dealing with the limitations that are put upon the body, whether it's through society, culture, you know, a set of ideas. And I think that, you know, historically, the body of color does have a lot of constraints, like, put upon it. So I use performance work as a place to kind of, like, speak about those things.
Right, right.
Like, you know, because performance art is not a new thing. It's been going on for a very long time. But I think Ada might have said this. We were talking about, what are there still constraints on the bodies? What are they? And, okay, what are they going to be in the next year, in 20 years?
Because, I mean, what you just said also, because there are always a lot of constraints, assumptions, stereotypes, sexual longings, and more put on bodies of color in America. That's part of what you're talking about. I mean, that's part of the... what happens. And part of what you all, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's also, I mean, another thing I want to, I feel like, I don't know if we mentioned this already, but I feel like performance art too has a lot of history in terms of, like, women's role or, like, women's positioning within, like, the form of performance art, in quotes, right? So that's another thing that I also want to put on the table in the conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I saw some stuff that you were working on. I mean, some of the work that you do, Ada, especially where it has to do with movement and kind of these interesting flowing mixed white kind of pieces you put on and singing in the background. I think that that come out of some of it came out of the gospel blues tradition, at least what I saw that you did. I kind of find that it was really kind of fascinating what you were doing.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, in general, you know, I have a background in dance too, right? And I also feel like in terms of, like, movement.
It looks as if you did.
Yeah. You know, in terms of, like, incorporating movement, like the way that we move through space on a day-to-day basis, it's always colored by history. It's always colored by mass media. It's always colored by commercialism and, you know, and everything else, right? So, like, that's one of the things that I hope to kind of point out in the art that I create. But then also, I kind of also want the audience to question where, you know, audience and the performer to have, like, more of a dialogue in the work instead of it just being like, oh, okay, I'm just looking at this piece and I'm not really engaging with it versus, like, I'm participating in it in some way, shape, or form.
So before we come back to the festival, I'm curious how can your own experiences affect your work?
So, yeah, I am an immigrant. I was born in Mexico, and my family migrated to the United States when I was 6, going on 7. So I feel like that most definitely had a big impact on me. Those are very, like, important years. You know, like, I remember I was learning how to ride a bike, and that was, like, you know, halted. And to this day, that's still kind of, like, a strange situation for me.
You were in Mexico, and you're learning how to ride a bike, and that was halted.
And then I came here, and then it's like, oh, you missed that part, you know? Like, it's over. Like, now you're X, Y, and Z is happening. So anyway, so those elements, and then along with, like, you know, being confronted with well, first of all, having this, I feel like the American dream is very real, you know, and alive out there. I don't know how real it is, actually, but I mean, the concept.
Yeah. So it's alive on some level.
And, you know, so like having those kinds of feelings like nurtured in me before coming here and then arriving to the States and then being confronted with the crude reality, which is maybe more like alienation, racism, xenophobia, et cetera. All of those things I know for a fact have played a big role in my shaping of myself as an artist. Right now, my current body of work and pretty much my whole body of work deals with creating new mythologies that, you know, kind of like give front and center roles to marginalized groups of people, kind of like stories that I don't feel have been represented and like in mainstream culture. And I chose performance art to do it through, which then makes it a little bit more abstract. Like, it's not necessarily like a clear-cut narrative, but I am dealing with those issues of the marginalized communities. Right now, dealing with the archetype of the scapegoat. I feel like that really sums up all these marginalized communities and how they kind of like, you know, keep the rest of the community afloat, like those margins.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I feel like I'm very interested in history. I was born in New York, and I was raised in New Jersey. Both of my parents are from Mississippi, so
where
I used
Mississippi
to go.
They're from? I'm just
they're from Jackson, Mississippi.
Jackson,
yeah, so I used to, and also Yazoo City, Yazoo County. Uh-huh. So I used to go down there every summer, and also every holiday time. And, you know, really, like, Mississippi is another country in itself. In terms of the juxtaposition of my life versus, like, my cousins and some of my family members that are down there. So that, for me, I feel like very much informs my work, this idea or, you know, this reality of a double consciousness. Mm-hmm. Because I, you know, I went to college. Not everyone in my family went to college. I went to graduate school. Not everyone in my family went to graduate school. So that type of understanding and also placing myself within like the historical frame point, even like straight up, like my grandmother learned how to read in on her at the time they lived in the country. She was a sharecropper, so she learned how to read on newspaper that was like straight up you know, the wallpaper. Uh-huh. in the house, right?
The newspaper was the wallpaper, and that's where she learned to read.
Right.
Right.
You know? And she told me this, like, every time I would see her, right? So these types of stories, for me, were always really interesting, but not everyone knows the stories, right? So creating spaces for these stories to be told is what really informs my work in general. Yeah.
So, so what's happening at the festival? Because, I mean, you just, as you said, some of your work may be there, but you're really, this is more, you're curating what's happening. So who's performing? What's happening? What is going to be, what can you tell us is going to be coming to the festival itself? Artists and their work, what they're into. What do we expect this week, that week?
First, yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be very varied. This is our most ambitious lab experiment that we've done. And we are, you know, bringing together, it's 23 artists, but we just like to say 20 plus artists, just in case. but, you know, so it really will show a huge spectrum of performance art. For instance, we're not just limiting it to, you know, a strange thing happening in the corner. Like, there will be different elements. For instance, something that I think I'm excited about is the performance documents. So we're so used to, like, you know, thinking about performance as, like, something that, like, you do have to be there and, like, experience. But there are, because it is so ephemeral, one of the main challenges is, well, how do you document that kind of work? And how do you, you know, make sure that it's representative of that work without creating a brand new piece, you know? So we have a couple of artists that are actually from London and from
Austria.
Hmm. And they are sending in, you know, documents. One of them is images that are going to be displayed on the floor, and the audience will kind of arrive and just be confronted with that and then interact with them and perhaps learn to dance. I'm not saying they will, but, you know, they might. And the man from London is doing a performance piece that if he is successful, we will receive documents that are documenting that. And actually, just, you know, to throw this in there, ideally we would have really wanted both of these artists to come here, but it, you know, funding limitations really were strenuous on us. So we hope to, you know, eventually partner with bigger institutions who can actually bring them down.
Yeah, I wanted to specifically talk about names of some of the performers whose work will be included in it. Another thing that we want to consider, that we are really trying to strive for, is creating integrated art spaces in Baltimore, which is...
integrated, you said? In what sense?
Integrated racially, integrated certainly, in terms of, like, class and educational backgrounds, because really, like... You know, it doesn't matter if you went to a large art institution or not, you could still be an artist, right? And I think that one of the things that is particularly, it is what it is for now, but it's the city of Baltimore is very, very segregated, and the arts community is kind of a reflection of that.
Yes.
So creating intentional spaces for more overlapping to happen is something that we are very interested in as artists, as curators, and organizers. So, yeah, and that's one of the reasons why we do open calls and reach out to specific people to be a part of the work. So we have, okay, so I'm just going to go down the list. We have Alex D'Agostino. Who's a great he's a dancer, a great performance artist that is based here. We have Sun, we have Amelia, Anina Penninen, we have Noelle Tolbert, who is actually a really great dancer too. Mm-hmm. She does a lot of work with the dance company at UB Blake. I don't remember the name of it, but Jacob Budens, we have Michael Wastenese, Amanda Agricola, Alexandra Brandon. Actually, never mind, forget Alexandra. I think he's going to do something next month. We have Felix Morello, who's coming from New York. He's a Colombian-American artist. Wild Torres, Lee Kata, Angelie, Ayana Evans, who is a great performance artist. Also, well, she's not going to come from New York, but she's going to send us documentation of a video that she did last year, I guess.
So when people get there, what do they experience? What happens?
So, you know, the evening is set. It's a two-day event, and it goes from 9 p.m. until 12 a.m. So it's, you know, kind of like cabaret hours. And, you know, by no means do you need to arrive at 9 p.m. and stay for the entire show. You can arrive whenever you want and, you know, catch, still a really exciting piece of the entire evening. Or you can arrive at 9 p.m. and then make sure to catch all of the scheduled performances. So the space itself will be populated by durational works from the moment, you know, from 9 p.m. all the way until 12 a.m. And in between, there will be scheduled performances interspersed. And then the documents will obviously be on an ongoing basis. So you kind of get an idea.
Well, I'm excited about what's going to happen. I think that I'm also looking forward to having you all just come back and talk more about your own work and be part of these conversations as well and help us build that work. I think that this is very exciting, but we need to let folks know how to get there, what they have to do, websites, you know, their tickets. We can't talk price on public radio, but what do people do?
So in order to get tickets for this weekend, they have to go to Transmodern's website. And it is transmodernfestival.com. And they can buy tickets on there. Also, check out Facebook. Just Facebook Transmodern Baltimore, and it'll show up. Another thing is you can go on facebook.com/labbodies, LABBODIES, and you can check out our Facebook group or like us and then find out information about our particular event. And those are the three main ways.
Yeah. And then just go to our regular website and everything is listed there as well. So LabBodies again.
LabBodies.com.
LabBodies.com. And you'll get links to all of these, you know, spaces. And Sub-Basement is literally on the same block, down the block from Lexington Market. So it's very accessible through light rail, buses, all kinds of things, or just really short walking distance.
And actually, we're going to have the side entrance open that day. So basically, there's going to be tour guides that kind of guide people from the street to the side entrance, because, as we said, sub-basement is in the basement of a basement. So the front entrance is not going to be available for this event.
Which makes it a little bit more mysterious and interesting anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have an installation in the alley right next door.
Our first commission, actually, Felix Morello from New York, which we're really excited about.
Yeah.
This is exciting. I'm glad you all stopped by. This is good.
Thank you so much.
Jose Corona and Ada Pinkston, good to have you both with us.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, good luck with this.
We'll be right back with my interview with Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz about her latest book, An Indigenous People's History of the United States. On our way to break, we're hearing Get Jiggy With It, Will Smith, born on this day, 1968. Happy birthday, Will Smith. Just can't sit. Gotta get jiggy with it.